Thank you for that warm welcome, folks. That feels good. Thank you very much.
It's fall. I love the changing color of the trees.
Oh, yes. I love the changing color of your face. You don't look, your face is white today. You don't look very good.
No.
You look bad.
Well,
if I might.
I had this problem.
And what, are you going to tell us what it is
silence.
Or not? Yeah, I'm not sure we all want to know, but.
I probably needed some of that holy Viagra for my, I'm just so tired of traffic. I am so tired. It's even my detours are under construction. It doesn't matter which way I go, there's construction.
Detours are under destruction. What bothers me is when there's a detour on the detour, and then you know you got troubles.
Well, you know, I have one of those crazy cell phones that has, GPS on it. And when I get to a dead stop, I do the detour. And the detour that they send me on, I get off, and I'm surrounded by traffic again. It took me about a half hour to go a mile on my detour.
It's all a setup.
It is. It is a setup.
It's a setup because of the ease of travel in the next eon.
Yeah.
I was thinking about this over the weekend. We got some comments about our spiritual Viagra.
Yeah.
You know, and some people think, okay, so Abraham couldn't get an erection. You know, they hear that and they think, oh, that was 4,000 years ago. You know, we feel bad for the guy. Yeah, he had ended up having lots of kids. That's great. But some people, they can't relate to old man Abraham. It was so long ago, 4,000 years ago. It's almost like, I mean, you and I don't think this way, but some people are thinking, what's the point? But
no pun intended.
Yeah, what's the point? No pun intended. We never intend these puns, just like where the rubber meets the road. You remember that one? I got some comments on that. Anytime I can make you turn red and crack up, and that's what happened on that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. These things in the Old Testament are written as examples to us.
Correct.
And so we're to get something from this. And the main point is that God works in the realm and in the sphere of human weakness.
Yes.
So there's some guy out there listening to this. He has no problem with Abraham's problem. He doesn't have Abraham's problem. And women, you know, can't have Abraham's problem. But people have weaknesses. Maybe you can't get it up in your business. You can't get it up with your family. Your kids are rebelling. There's so many ways that you can not be invigorated, not in the manner of Abraham, but this is an example. Abraham, apply it to your own life. Whatever Abraham can't do, there's something that you out there listening are frustrated in right now. Whether it's your family, your business life, something's not happening for you.
Well, I'm going to just sit and listen. I think that was a message for me. I appreciate that.
Well, I know you were hassled and harried coming over here, and you didn't get much sleep, you know, over the weekend. That's apparent.
Yeah.
I mean, but it's still amazing you're in such a good mood, even so. You know that? But we have a promise. Just like, I love that in Romans where it said Abraham faced a promise of God. And the promise of God was that he was going to have this large progeny. Now, we don't have that promise, but what promise do we have? In Romans 8:28, we are promised that all things work together for good to those who are loving God and called according to his purpose. Facing which, we believe it of the God who calls what is not as if it were. And I'm telling you, there are some things going on in my life, and everybody can say that it's going on in their life too, where God is calling what is not as if it were. I look at this stuff and I can't see how it's working together for good. And I can really put myself in the place of Abraham. Once you just see his specific problem as a jumping off point for our problems, then it becomes applicable to everybody. It's the weakness, and then God invigorates you, and we face a promise. I love that. Facing which Abraham believes it of the God who can vivify the dead, who can bring life out of death. No matter what you're going through, God can bring life out of it. But it comes down to faith. And Abraham was the father of faith. He's the father of us all in the faith aspect. That doesn't mean we're all Israelites. It just means that he's the father. He's the example God gives of faith.
Seems to be a principle throughout, even in the Apostle Paul. you know, like you said, bring it down to common life. What the Apostle Paul says, whenever I am weak, I am powerful. And it seems that God has this way of bringing us down. And I think the reason he does it, in the same letter in 2 Corinthians, Paul says that we had the sentence of death in ourselves.
Yeah.
That we might not trust in ourselves, but in God who rouses the dead. And, you know, at driving over here, it's one of the things I was thinking of. You know, I'm tired, I'm weak. And I say, you know, what a perfect time to go on the radio and talk about God, because that way I'm not depending on my strength, and I'm not having faith in my abilities, faith in my knowledge, faith in my ability to talk on this microphone, but my object before me is God. I mean, you know, when you're down, you have only one place to look, and that's God, so that might be.
Yeah. I mean, most people, when they're down and things are going bad, they cancel everything, you know. If you and I are down, it gives God an opportunity to do something. Because here, we're usually all charged up when we come in. And here we are, we're just sitting here talking. And I think this is part of it. I came in here and the lights didn't work. So I thought, what else is going on here, right? And so what did I do? I stole these nice little lamps from the station manager's office. Now he knows.
You did.
I was going to hide that. I was going to, you know, hide that fact. But now, and we have these nice lamps in here now that gives it a living room atmosphere. So we're just sitting here talking with each other. That verse you said, that Paul says, "When I'm weak, then I'm strong." Yeah. That is, it's a scripture verse that you read over. But when you think about it, I started just like a year ago taking this verse literally. I mean, really, really thinking about it. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. That so goes against the grain of human nature.
If I may put a plug in for the concordant literal New Testament here, and those who've listened, we promote this version because the most accurate translation on planet Earth. But it says here, for whenever I may be weak. So it assumes that there are sometimes he isn't weak, right? Whenever, right. Whenever I may be weak, then I am powerful. Strong is one thing. This is powerful. Whenever. You know, so there are times I think that we have to be put down because of pride. Well, remember, Paul was given that in the context of this, Paul was given these magnificent revelations, and he might have felt pretty good about it. I'm sure if you had, you know, when we studied the teachings of Paul, it brings us up to cloud nine. But I think God, what he has to do is bring us down, make us weak.
Yeah, I had an experience just like this. I mean, I was having a really, really bad day, and I was discouraged, and I was feeling useless. And I called to mind this verse, and I recommend everybody do this. I said, okay, I am so weak now, and now I'm strong. Powerful. I am now powerful. And it is such... Again, we talked about Abraham looking at himself and not being able to believe his eyes. I mean, he looked at himself, considered his body, it was dead. So he had to rely on something that he could not see. And it was so against the human intuition. My intuition told me that everything I'm going to do today is going to be screwed up. I can't succeed. But then I went to this verse and I faced it. And it's a fact. When I am weak, then I am powerful. And so... don't read this verse over, folks. Just skip over it. Think about it. If you're weak, then you're powerful. Then I'm powerful. And the reason you're powerful then is because it's not you, it's God. And this is exactly what happened with Abraham. He was promised a son. He tried to produce it in the flesh with Ishmael. And God waited and waited and waited, just like he did when Lazarus died. Waited 4 days. Lazarus is stinking. Waited till Abraham's dead. Sarah's not even getting woman's day anymore. She's finished. And then, when they were weak, then God was strong. Oh, well, Martin, that was 4,000 years ago. Paul, this verse is written by our apostle Paul. This is present day truth. In Abraham, we just saw an illustration of it that Paul brings forth for our edification. It's true then, it's true now. When you're weak, then we cannot lose in Christ. When we're strong, we're feeling good. Sometimes we come in and we're all invigorated. Yahoo, man, we're like riding we're in the rodeo. You know, we just can't wait to compete. That feels good. But when we're weak, When we're feeling like we're useless, then we're more powerful than we ever imagined.
There's a Paul said this, and I came to be with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my word and my heralding were not with persuasive words of human wisdom.
I always used to read over that verse. You know, it's just like, oh, that's a nice, quaint little verse, but...
Notice, you know, persuasive words of human wisdom, the power of persuasion, right?
Mm-hmm.
He says, my words were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but with demonstration of spirit and of power.
Perfect example, the Gettysburg Address. Remember, I don't know if you knew this, there was a speaker that went on before Abraham Lincoln. He was the most famous orator of the day. His name was Everett, whatever. I can't, yeah. Or maybe his last name was Everett. I don't know. He gave like an hour and a half. This guy trained. He was a trained orator. He was famous. And he gave this vigorous rah, rah, rah speech at Gettysburg.
Yeah.
He went before Lincoln. You know, wild applause. He steps down. Abe Lincoln comes up there, shuffles his papers around. You know, he wrote this verse on the train coming over.
Yeah.
The guy's riding a horse into Gettysburg. He slumped over. You know, he's 6 foot whatever, but he's slumped. He's worn, weary. The war has devastated him. He wants to die. I've read books about Lincoln. He had a problem with melancholy and depression. And yet in this field of weakness, he recites the Gettysburg Address. I don't think
don't realize how short it is.
That's
the thing about it.
That is the beauty of it. It is so short, and I doubt whether people that were any more than six rows away could even hear it.
Yeah.
But, man, those words live forever because they were written in weakness, not strength.
Let me finish that statement. Paul says, not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but with demonstration of spirit and of power, that your faith may not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. We can take that into not just Paul's heralding the message, but even in daily life, that when we're weak, we're strong because we're depending on God.
Take this literally, folks. The next time you're weak, the next time, I'm talking about sin. I'm talking about you have a day where you've sinned like crazy.
No, they must stop sinning.
Sinning. Even when you're sinning, or when you break your diet, or when you eat candy bars, or when you're upset, you've yelled at your wife, you've yelled at your kids, you're tired, you got 2 hours of sleep, then you are strong. If you're in Christ, if you're a believer, you can count on that promise. It's a fact. You can't look in the mirror to find it out. You have to simply believe it.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
And as Dan sips his vitamin drink over there.
Hey, it says Naked on it.
It's the brand Naked.
Speaking of Viagra. Thanks for joining us, everyone. You can go to paulsevangel.com or martinzender.com. Actually, martinzender.com has these shows on there you can go listen to.
We'll be back tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.